Hebrews 4 tonight is where we're going to be. Isn't it a wonderful thought to know that our sins are forgiven? They're under the blood of Christ, and there's nothing we can do to care for our sins. Christ has already done everything that was necessary, and so grateful for that tonight. Hebrews chapter 4, we're going to finish up our thought tonight on rest well, and I'm going to give you a part 3 tonight, rest well, as we finish up Hebrews chapter number 4. And it's almost, it's kind of interesting when we get to verse number 14. We went down through verse number 13 this morning. And we get to verse number 14. It's almost like we take a, even though it's not, but it's almost like we take a quick right turn into a new subject. And so I want to look at that tonight, verses 14, 15, 16. Very familiar passage tonight in Hebrews chapter number 4, and I know it'll be a help to us as we look at it. But let's look here tonight, Hebrews chapter number 4, verses 14, 15, and 16. The Bible says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now, I'd like for you to take your Bibles and go back, probably just one page, but look at chapter number 2, Hebrews chapter number 2, because as I said, it almost seems like it's a quick right turn, but it's really not, because in chapter number 3 and at the end of chapter number 2, we have this thought of the high priest, of Christ being our priest. Chapter number 2 and verse number 17, the Bible says, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." Now here in chapter number 2, he's speaking in verse number 14. He says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." Verse 16 says, "For verily he took not on him the nature of angels." When he came to this earth, he did not take on the nature of angels, the Bible says, "but he took on him the seed of Abraham." He took on flesh. We know that tonight. He became a man. He took on flesh, God in flesh, Emmanuel. In verse 17, it says he did that so that he could be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Chapter 3, verse number 1. "Wherefore, holy brethren," notice this, "partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession." So even though it almost seems like it's a quick right turn, it's really not, because he's finishing up the thought that began here in verse number 1 of chapter 3. He speaks of the high priest of our profession, and that is Christ Jesus. And then he comes down to chapter number 4, verse number 14, and he says, "See." So he says, "I've shown you in chapters 3 and 4 everything we've been speaking about this idea of rest, the fact that the nation of Israel did not go into their earthly rest, their Canaan rest, for one reason, and that was because of unbelief. And so now we see, I have shown you that there's a better rest. I have shown you, verse number 9 we saw this morning, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." There is a better rest. It's a heavenly rest. It's an eternal rest. And so he says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God." By the way, I think it's interesting. He doesn't say Christ. He says Jesus. He doesn't use the term, the messianic term that maybe the Hebrews would have grasped onto a little quicker. But he uses the earthly name, the name Jesus. And he says, "Jesus, the Son of God." And so he says, "Let us hold fast our profession." So tonight, I want us to see rest well, part 3. And I want to give you 3 reasons tonight in these 3 verses why we as born-again believers why we can and should rest well. Now, if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, you need to settle that tonight. This message tonight is primarily for believers, but if you're here without Christ, Christ paid it all. That has been sung about all night tonight, the love of Christ. Miss Carrie, Miss Tony, and Dayton sang about that. We sang about that in the congregationals. The love of Christ, God's love, sent His Son to die on the cross of Calvary to shed His blood so that we could have forgiveness and remission of sins. There's nothing that needs to be added to that. We saw that this morning in chapter 1, verse number 3, when He had by Himself purged our sins. Nothing needs to be added to it. So if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, you need to be saved. By the way, don't be afraid of that term saved. That's a Bible term. If you don't know Christ, you need to be saved tonight. But if you are saved, you should rest well. And so I want to give us three reasons tonight, three statements of why we should rest well tonight as believers, as those who have placed their faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So let's pray and ask God to help tonight. Then we'll get right into the message. Father, we love You tonight. We're thankful for the fact that You loved us. Lord, we love You because You first loved us. And Father, we're thankful for that tonight. We're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the finished work of Christ. We're thankful for the blood of Christ. Father, we're thankful simply tonight that we stand here tonight, those who know Christ, those who are born again, stand here tonight redeemed. We stand clothed in Your righteousness. We stand prepared and ready to enter into that eternal rest. Father, I do pray if there would be one here tonight, man, woman, boy or girl, teenager, doesn't matter, maybe even a church member tonight, someone who has professed to be saved for maybe even decades, but in their heart of hearts they know that they've never been saved. They've never truly cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. They've never truly placed their complete faith and trust in His finished work. And Lord, I pray that tonight would be their night of salvation. And Father, for us as believers tonight, I pray that You would just remind us, encourage our hearts tonight, help us to see once again that we should rest well. And so, Father, we'll thank You for what You'll show us tonight from Your Word. Thank You for Your Word, Lord. Thank You for this book that guides us and directs us. Lord, it gives us the wisdom that we need, the wisdom for salvation, the wisdom for daily life. Father, we praise You and thank You for it. Lord, we commit these next few moments to You. We ask that You would bless as only You can, Father. We'll give You the glory for anything You accomplish in our hearts in these next few moments. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Number one tonight, we should rest well because of the sureness of our salvation. We should rest well tonight. And again, I'm not speaking physically per se, although that does come into it, doesn't it? We do rest better when we know for sure we don't have any doubts about our eternal destination. You can pillow your head well tonight because you know if death takes you during the night, you know you're going to step from this life into the next and you're going to step into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so we have confidence in that. We have peace in that. And so tonight I say, first of all, we should rest well and we can rest well and we should rest well because of the sureness of our salvation. Look what he says in verse number 14. He says, seeing then. He says, everything I've shown you, everything I've taught you, the illustrations that I've given you that illuminate the truth. He said, everything that I've shown you in chapters 3 and 4, and really chapters 1, 2, and 3, everything he has written thus far. But he says, everything I've spoken to you about this matter of faith, about this matter of unbelief, about this matter of your forefathers came short, as chapter 4, verse number 1 says. They did not get to enter into the promised land simply because of unbelief. Listen, you can hold fast your profession of faith that you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ. You have the sureness of your salvation tonight. Because, and we'll get to this in just a moment, I get a little bit ahead of myself, but in verse 14, and you have that confidence because of the one that we're putting confidence in. See what he says in verse 14? Seeing then that we have what? A great high priest. Because we have this great high priest, because of what Christ has done for us, because he has by himself purged our sins, because in chapter number 2, verse number 9, because he has tasted death for every man, because of our great high priest, because of what he's done, because he's paid the price, you can hold fast your profession. Number one tonight, we should rest well because of the sureness of our salvation. And listen, that's not a source of pride. It shouldn't be a source of pride. It should just be a source of confidence and peace. I'm confident in Jesus Christ. I'm confident in the salvation that He's provided for me. And because of that, I can live a confident life. I can pillow my head at night, not worried about death. Now look, here's the truth tonight. None of us want to walk out of here tonight and drop dead. At least I don't think you do. But here's the truth. We shouldn't fear it. We shouldn't fear it. Over the last two or three years, and by the way, I'm not speaking of not being careful and not being cautious, but over the last two or three years since 2020, since COVID, listen, many Christians have lived lives of fear. What are you afraid of? Look, I'm not talking about desiring to die, but what are you afraid of? Death here, Paul said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is what? Gain. And we have a profession in our world, a profession that is becoming wealthier and wealthier and wealthier and wealthier because people are afraid to die. It's the medical industry. And they're becoming wealthier by the day because people take this pill and that pill. And again, I'm not telling you not to take your pills. Don't go home and flush all your pills down. Don't flush them. Don't do that. But I am just simply asking this, what are we afraid of? If we have the sureness of salvation, there ought not be any fear of death. There ought not be any fear of what lies after this life. Because we know what lies, what comes after this life. Number one tonight, we should rest well because of the sureness of our salvation. Number two tonight, we should rest well because of the touch of His throne. Number one tonight, we should rest well because of the sureness of our salvation. But then after our salvation, believer tonight, we should rest well. We should be at peace spiritually. We should rest well as believers because of the touch of His throne. The Bible tells us there in verses 15 and 16, for we have not an high priest. Look, we have a high priest. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, because we have this great high priest, because He has been touched with the feeling of our infirmities, because He has been tempted just like we are. By the way, He is God. He was God. He never could sin. He didn't have to be tempted to prove who He was, but the temptations proved who He was. He was God. He's sinless. He never would sin. He never will sin. And the Bible says He's been tempted just like we have, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We should rest well because of the sureness of our salvation. But secondly, we should rest well because of the touch of His throne. He intercedes for us. He identifies with us. He invites us to come, verse 16. He intercedes. We talked about this recently. He intercedes for us. He identifies with us. He identifies. By the way, that word touch. Think about that word for a moment. I remember when my wife and I, when we were, and I mentioned this recently, but my wife and I, when we were at Pensacola, guys and girls could not touch whatsoever. I don't know if it's still the case. I assume it is, but it could not touch whatsoever. No hand holding, no elbows, none of that. Oh my goodness, you went to a school like that, Pastor? Yeah, and it was good for me. By the way, the Bible says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. That's Bible. But why did they have such an archaic rule? And by the way, I use that word archaic very cynically, I guess. Why did they have that rule? Because touch is intimate. It's intimate. I still, my wife and I, we've been married for 26 years, but there's still, just driving down the road, just driving in the car, and just you reach your hand over and you hold the other's hand. And I reach my hand over and it's like, get away from me. just kidding. I'm just kidding. But you know what the touch is? It's intimate. Why do they not want guys or girls touching? Why do they not want them holding hands? Because the touch carries the idea of intimacy. And the Bible says here that he has been touched. He is intimate with everything we'll ever feel. You ever been hungry? He's been hungry. We mentioned this, I think, a couple weeks ago. You ever been betrayed? Yeah, he's been betrayed. Do you think you're poor? I don't have anything, Pastor. He had to borrow a boat to make it a pulpit to preach out of. He had to borrow a kid's lunch, the little lad. But the wonderful thing is, he took that little lunch and he fed 5,000 plus. You see, he was constantly borrowed tomb, right? Isn't that where they laid him? By the way, they put him in a borrowed tomb because he wasn't going to need it for long, was he? Everything, borrowed. Why? Because he said, look, I don't have a place to lay my head. Foxes have holes, but I don't have a place to lay my head. He was poor. See, every characteristic, everything that we can think of tonight, he's dealt with. And he's been intimately touched with that. And he intercedes for us. He identifies with us. That's why he became a man. Hebrews 2 told us that. That's why he did not take on the nature of angels. He took on the nature of his brethren, the Bible says. And he's been touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He has been tempted just like we have, yet without sin. Look, he was tempted with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, just like we are on a daily basis. He was tempted with all of that, but he never sinned. And so when we're tempted, he knows. He knows what we're going through. He knows the temptation. And he is the strength and source of our help. That's why he says, look, because of that, because I know what you're going through, that's why you should come to my throne. That's why you should come boldly to my throne and get help and find grace. Look what he says there. He says, unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What is grace? Grace is me getting something I don't deserve. And so when I go to the throne of grace, I get the strength and the power and the help that I don't deserve, but he freely offers it and he freely gives it. Number one tonight, we should rest well because of the sureness of our salvation. Number two tonight, we should rest well because of the touch of his throne. What are you going through tonight? Is it physical? Is it financial? Is it spiritual? Is there, boy, just a temptation, boy, that the devil just keeps bringing around and bringing around and bringing around? What is it? I don't know what it is for you. But we can rest well tonight because we have the touch of his throne. We have that intimate intercessor who mediates and advocates for us. We have access. We can go directly to that throne. I mentioned this in Sunday school this morning. Look, I don't have to go through Dayton. Dayton doesn't have to go through me. I don't have to go through Brother Steve. Brother Steve doesn't have to go through me. We go directly. We have direct access. I don't have to go through a father. You don't have to come to me to confess your sins. We have direct access. Why? Because 1 John 2 tells us we have an advocate with the Father, and that advocate is the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one tonight, we should rest well because of the sureness of our salvation. Number two tonight, we should rest well because of the touch of His throne. That resource of prayer, probably the greatest resource we have and the most neglected. We can go to the throne of grace anytime we need to. He says, let us therefore, because of our priest, because of who he is, that's where we're going to obtain mercy. That's where we're going to find grace. Number three, number one, we should rest well because of the sureness of our salvation. Are you sure of that tonight? I hope you are. I pray that you are. If you're not, I hope you will be before you leave. We can rest well tonight because of the touch of his throne. He intercedes. He identifies with us. The only thing He does not identify with us in is in the matter of sin. By the way, let me read you just real quickly, just a couple of verses. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 21. The Bible says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." He was made sin for us who knew absolutely no sin. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 2. I'm sorry. That is not the verse I want. Just too many twos there, right? 1 Peter 2:22. The Bible says, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to Him that judgeth righteously. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the Shepherd and Bishop of your souls." By the way, that last part of chapter number 2, of course, leads us into chapter number 3, where He speaks to the wife in the marriage relationship. And He says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection." And then He says to the husbands, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge." And it all references back to that submission and that selflessness of the Lord Jesus Christ and that great example that He gives us. We should rest well because of the sureness of our salvation. We should rest well because of the touch of His throne. And then lastly tonight, we should rest well because of the preeminence of His priesthood. Because of the preeminence of His priesthood. By the way, He's not only the priest. He's not only the priest of the tabernacle. He's really all of the contents of the tabernacle. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest," the great high priest, "we have sureness of salvation, we have the touch of His throne because of the preeminence of His priesthood." The priest would come and he would come to that altar. When he would come into the tabernacle, he would come to that altar and offer the sacrifice. He's not only the priest, He's the sacrifice. From there, He would go to the laver where they would wash before they would go into the holy place, because their hands and their feet would get dirty and they would wash at that laver. He's not only the priest, He's the laver. The Bible speaks about the Word being the water that washes us. Ephesians 5:26, "By the washing of the water of the Word." He's not only the priest that comes to the laver. He is the laver. He is the water that washes us. The Word of God. And then you walk into that holy place and you have the showbread. You have the candlesticks. You have all of the contents in the holy place. And then in the Holy of Holies where you have the mercy seat. He is the bread of life, is He not? He is the light of the world, is He not? You go into the holy place. And the priests would take that sacrifice that they offered back right when they came into the tabernacle. They offered the sacrifice that they offered. They would bring that blood in and they would sprinkle it on the mercy seat. And He is the mercy seat. And by the way, it's His blood that's on the mercy seat. The tabernacle in heaven, of which the tabernacle on earth was just a shadow of the substance in heaven. He took His blood back to that tabernacle in heaven and spread that blood on the mercy seat in heaven. And He did that for us. He is the preeminent priest. And we have sureness of salvation. And we have the touch of His throne because of the preeminence of His priesthood. Seeing then everything I've shown you about the unbelief of the nation of Israel, and they came up short, they didn't get to go into the promised land because of their unbelief. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. He is our great high priest. He intercedes for us. He sacrificed for us. He spread His blood on the mercy seat for us. And the Bible says He ever liveth to make intercession for us. And listen, dear friend, tonight we ought to rest well. You pillow your head tonight. Again, I know we're just not talking about physical, but you pillow your head tonight. You ought to rest well. There ought to be a peace, that peace that passeth all understanding. There ought to be a peace that engulfs the believer, that does not engulf the unbeliever. The unbeliever may pillow his head and may think of all the trials and troubles that he's dealing with. He may think of all the storms that he's going through, and he has absolutely nowhere to find refuge or strength or shelter. But we pillow our heads, and we may have physical ailments. We may have gotten a diagnosis. And you can still pillow your head in peace. You may have gotten a bill in the mail and you think, oh my, I have absolutely no way to care for that. It might be physical, it might be financial, it might be emotional, it might be spiritual, but we can pillow our head because our great high priest has passed into the heavens. And by the way, the Bible tells us that as Christians, it's as if we already sit in the heavenlies, isn't it? It's as if we're already there with Him, with our great high priest. We're citizens of heaven. We sit in the heavenlies. And we ought to dwell and live every single day, every second of the day, in the presence of our priest, in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, which gives us peace, which puts us at rest. Listen, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Way too many Christians living in turmoil today. It ought not be so. I understand things come into our lives. I understand we have circumstances. But we have a great high priest who's been touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Well, listen, Pastor, Jesus Christ may have been touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but He's never been under the pressure that I'm under right now. Oh, really? Have you ever sweat great drops of blood? I never have. See, He's been touched. He's getting ready to go to the cross of Calvary. It wasn't that He didn't want to go, but He's getting ready to drink that bitter cup of sin. Here is the Holy God who has never known sin. And He's getting ready to take sin on His body. He's getting ready to taste death for every man. And the Bible says He is sweating great drops of blood because of the fact that He's getting ready to take sin upon His body. Not that He doesn't want to do it, not that He's not going to do it, but He knows He's getting ready to do it. Pressure. See, He knows. Well, God's never been through this. Yes, He has. He's been touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And now this same God, this same Jesus has gone back to heaven. He's passed into the heavens. And He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Rest well. Why? Because of the sureness of our salvation, because of the touch of His throne, and because of the preeminence of His priesthood. Everything that the tabernacle was, everything that the tabernacle contained, everything that the priest was supposed to be, everything that the priest was supposed to carry out, all of that is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. He did it all. He does it all. He is all. You can go through the tabernacle and look at every element in the tabernacle, and it all points to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the priest. And by the way, from right here, from the end of chapter 4 all the way through chapter 8, that's what He's going to talk about. He's going to talk about the priesthood of Jesus Christ after the order of Melchizedek. He's going to talk about the preeminence of His priesthood. And that's our priest. That's our Savior. That's the one that we can go boldly to when we need Him. So rest well. Father, we love You tonight. We thank You for Your Word. Father, we thank You for the sureness of salvation. Father, because of our great high priest, we can hold fast our profession. We can be sure. We can be certain. Because of our great high priest, Lord, we have one who has been touched and we can go to His throne. He's intimate. He identifies with us. He knows everything we've gone through, our trials, our infirmities, our temptations. Father, forgive us. Father, we neglect that throne of grace so often. Lord, I neglect that throne of grace. Lord, it's our greatest resource. Father, help us forgive us. Father, thank you for that preeminent priesthood. Father, would you help us as believers tonight? Father, I believe in my heart there are folks who need to come to the altar tonight just simply to praise you, just simply to thank you for the certainty of their salvation, just simply to thank you for the fact that we can come to you boldly. We have direct access. We have an advocate. Father, we need to praise you for that. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help. Lord, if there would be one here tonight, man, woman, boy, girl, teenager, whatever the case would be, who does not have that sureness of their salvation, Father, I pray that tonight they would simply come, say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. And Father, I pray that tonight they would be saved. Father, help us. And we'll thank you for it. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight, heads bowed and eyes closed. Miss Jo's at the piano. I don't know your heart tonight. I don't know your needs, but the invitation has been presented. Hey, believer, do you need to come? Are you resting? Well, you should. Look at everything that is afforded us. Look at everything that we have because of Jesus Christ. Maybe you just need to come tonight and just praise Him. Maybe you just need to come tonight and thank Him. I don't know needs tonight. Friend, if you're here tonight without Christ, you do need to come. Please do. Miss Jo's playing. Friend, if you need to come, come. Church member, church family, do you need to come? Dear friend, you're here tonight without Christ. You need to come. Rest well. Hey, believer, are you resting well spiritually, physically, emotionally? You should be. That doesn't mean we don't have problems. That doesn't mean we don't have trials. Quite the opposite. Said it this morning in Sunday school. We've said it hundreds of times. Peace is not found in the absence of trouble. It's found in the presence of God. That's where we find our peace. That's where we rest well, even in the midst of the storms. We can and should rest well because of the sureness of our Savior. Salvation. We can and should rest well because of the touch of His throne. We can and should rest well because of the preeminence of our priest, the preeminence of His priesthood. Aaron and the other priests, they would have to go in year by year. Our great high priest doesn't have to do that. He did it one time and he finished it. Rest well. But Pastor, I got a diagnosis this week. Nobody even knows about it. I haven't told anybody. Dear believer, rest well. Rest well under the shadow of the Almighty, under the shelter of His wings, under the shadow of His wings. Rest well. You see, the sureness of our salvation solidifies our eternal rest, that heavenly rest. But that salvation also solidifies our earthly rest. The abundant Christian life, the peace that God gives us, that even while we're here upon this earth, even in the midst of sin and turmoil and wretchedness, we still rest. We get in the yoke with Jesus Christ and we find rest for our souls. We learn of Him, the Bible says in Matthew 11. Again, speaks to intimacy.